We're just going to pray real quick. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you, Father, for all these precious people here and all the precious people watching online and that will watch later this week. Thank you, Father, that, man, that they can be ministered to today, that they can, enjoy the relationship they have with you, that they can just feel connected with you, Father. We gather here today to, man, just be intimate with you and your eternal life, to just hang out. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. You guys want to talk about prayer today? You want me to explain all of it to you? I mean, I'll tell you how to get your prayers to work, and I'll teach you all the right words to say so you can get your pot of gold, and by the time you walk out of here, you'll have it all sorted out. Honestly, I was hoping you guys would teach me. I came in today hoping, man, we'll go into the Bible study, and I'll bring up prayer, and hopefully everybody will talk about prayer, and then I'll get a revelation, and I can come in here and explain it to everybody else. Oh, man, the funny thing is you guys think I'm joking. No, I'm joking. I am joking. Yeah, our Father. Thank you, Jesus. Just got to find where I'm at here. Glory to God. I get a lot of questions about prayer from people, especially in light of coming into the understanding of the finished work of Jesus and the message of grace, because for so long our prayers were from the foundation of trying to get God to move. So long our prayers were from the foundation of trying to be acceptable in the sight of God. Like we thought if we could pray the right way or get enough people to pray or gather together enough in the right way and pray long enough and fast long enough, then we'd get God to move and then we'd get all the things that we need in order to be happy. Right? I mean, that was kind of like the beginning understanding of grace and or the beginning understanding of prayer. But as we walked into grace and we start realizing that it was God's good pleasure to give us his life as a free gift, that it was God's good pleasure to save us from what harms us, that it was in his heart to begin with, that he took the initiative upon himself when we didn't even know we needed to be saved. And then you start thinking about, well, then what's the purpose of prayer, right? If this guy's already filled with love for me, if this guy doesn't need any contribution from me to want to enter into a relationship with me or to sit with me or to be with me or to serve me with life or to save me from what harms me, if he doesn't want to do any, if prayer isn't about getting him to do that and he already wants to do it, then, I mean, what's the point of prayer, right? I mean, if Jesus come and said that God already knows what we need before we ask, right? I mean, if he already knows what we need before we ask, if it's already in his heart to save us from what harms us, if it's already in his heart to bring forth his life in us, then what is prayer about? Right? Why do we even pray then? I get a lot of questions about that because what grace come and do is unwind all your works. And what we've been doing is engaging in prayer from the foundation of a works mindset. And so now that the works mindset is unwound, we're left with the idea of, well, what's the point of prayer then? Why do we pray? Do we pray anymore? What is prayer? And so I get a lot of questions along those lines because I think people can get confused in a lot of different areas, like with giving, right? We're so used to doing things from the perspective of trying to be justified or to gain approval or to get God to move or to get God to bless us. We're so used to doing everything from that foundation that once you tear down that foundation and you're left with just the foundation that is Christ, you can find yourself thinking, well, we need a paradigm shift then when we think about prayer. What is it about? Why do we do it? What's its existence for? Right? And so the message today is going to be the spirit of prayer. The name of the message is going to be the spirit of prayer. And we're just going to talk about the spirit of prayer. And listen, I'm going to preface everything I'm going to say with this. We're not giving you some metric by which you now want to judge your prayers. Okay? I'm not giving you some metric by which you're going to now judge your prayers. We're just going to talk about the spirit that is behind prayer. We're going to talk about what it is all about. What is it actually for? Right? And we're not going to be able to cover every facet of what prayer is or what prayer looks like or anything of that. We're just talking about the basic foundation of the spirit that's behind prayer. Because there's a spirit that prayer is born from. There is a spirit that true prayer is born from. There's a kind of praying that comes forth from the spirit. There is a certain spirit behind prayer, right? We can even say it this way, that the prayer the spirit brings forth in us, right? What type of prayer does the spirit bring forth, right, in us? What does that prayer look like? What is its, it, I don't even want to say what's its intent, but what is its purpose? What is it for, right? What is prayer all about? And if I think of my own life, when I look at my own life, the way that I've prayed has changed a lot over the last 30 years. Really changed a lot. My prayer used to be kind of like in the day I had committed lots of sins and I felt real sorry for it. My prayer was always to God, please don't hate me, right? I'm always talking to God about my bad behavior and my bad self, and I'm just begging and pleading, please don't let me die. I promise I'll change if you don't let me die. Because at that time, most of my sins were inflicting self-pain on me. And so then I was dying, right? Or you feel like you're dying. And then your prayer is, oh, Lord, don't hate me because of my sins. Save me, right? And then my prayer changed into how I got to pray the right way to get the power to manifest, right? And so now I'm all the time, my prayer is about I'm getting the power to manifest, right? And what is the right way we can do it to get this thing to work right, to get God to move, to heal the land, right? Like you get a lot of that going on now. I don't know if we realize this, but every generation this happens. The previous generation thinks the youngest generation are insane. And they think we got to get God to save the land. Right? But what we forget is the grandfathers before us thought the same thing about us. Right? And so it's a big thing now where we got to get everybody to come together to pray and to repent so God will heal the land. Because look at everything that's going on, right? That I spent a season thinking of prayer like that. Then I spent a season of thinking prayers about, man, getting me just always telling God about what I need, right, in my personal life. Like I see all the things that are wrong in my personal life, and now prayer is about me getting God to change all those things, right? So all my time in prayer was about going to God to change all these things in my personal life, whether it be I need a car or a house or a wife or money or a job. You know, it was like all my prayers were all, Lord, woe is me. I don't have this. I don't have that. I need to get it. How can I? I spent a time there, right? And what I would say is over the last 15 years, man, my prayers have just drastically changed. And I was thinking about it this morning. I can't even remember the last time I actually asked God for something. And what I realize is that my prayer life has become more about just walking and talking with God, fellowshipping around the word of eternal life. Talking to him about eternal life, what eternal life is, what eternal life does. Talking to him about the work he did to give me eternal life as a gift. Talking to him about what eternal life does to the chaos and darkness and calamity and corruption I see in the earth and in the world around me. I just find myself engaging with God from the perspective of who he is and him caring for my life. And me sharing my heart with him from the perspective of the hurt that I feel. Or the insecurities that I feel, or the pain that I feel. But not even so much that foundation anymore, but more just a foundation of talking with God about the spirit of his life and what the spirit of his life is doing in me and doing in the earth. Right? Because as you sit here today, the spirit of God's life is doing something in you. As you sit here right now today, you ain't gonna ask him to do it. The spirit of his life is doing something in you today. And guess what? It's doing something in the earth today. And I promise you this, if your mind was filled with what it was doing, you'd feel happy. And so what I realize is prayer is more about fellowshipping with God around who he is and what's in his heart for his life with me and his life with me in this earth. And I just find myself caught up in that type of a prayer with him now, right? And this isn't to tell somebody how they should pray or one pray is wrong. I'm just talking about the way the Spirit has changed how I pray based on what I know to be true about God, right? And I think for us, and this, guys, this isn't to disparage us. We're just, what do they call it? Real talk, right? let the church be a place where people have been so set free from lack and offense that we can have real talk without taking it personally or feeling that we lack when we have real talk, right? Otherwise, how can we ever get anywhere if we can't plop our hearts out on the table? But I think for most of us, at least maybe just for me, you guys can, you know, say, oh me or oh my, whatever you like. But I think we tend to only think of prayer from the perspective of the knowledge of sin and death. Meaning, we have knowledge that sin and death exists, right? We see it in the earth. We see corruption in the earth. We see calamity in the earth. We can see things that come out of our lives that we don't like or that we don't want. And I think most of our thoughts about what prayer are is in light of there being sin and death. Like, we struggle to have a thought of what is prayer if there isn't sin and death. Do you see what I'm saying? We've allowed sin and death to define what prayer looks like. And so if we remove sin and death from the equation, what does prayer look like then? Right? What is prayer about then? What are we thinking about prayer then? What would prayer look like if there was no sin and death? What does prayer look like in the Godhead? Was there prayer in the Godhead before they made anything? What did their prayer look like? What was it about? Because I can tell you that there was prayer in the Godhead before they made anything, before there was sin and death. And so what would their prayer look like? What would it be, right? How would it even sound? I mean, what would they be doing, right? And I think that challenges our concept of prayer when we think of it that way. I mean, what about Adam? What about Adam? Jim, now I just noticed how I was looking all the time over there. But what about Adam, right? What about, guys, I'm sorry if I don't look over here very much. I'm not trying to disparage you. But what about Adam? What was prayer like in the garden for Adam before he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What did that look like? Because, you know, it says that God come to walk with Adam in the cool of the day. That wasn't like some brand new thing. I mean, he was coming to walk with Adam in the cool of the day every day. And so what did prayer look like with God and Adam when there was no sin and death? Right? And I think if we start to consider that, we're going to get a much better idea about the foundation from prayer and the spirit from which what we pray can come forth from. Right? And then we can pray in many different situations in many different ways. But it'll come from the spirit of knowing what prayer actually is. Right? And it'll come forth from our time connecting with God. Glory to God. So just real quick, last week we looked at what Jesus was actually saying when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You give us this day our daily bread. You lead us not into temptation. You deliver us from evil. You forgive us of our trespasses so that we can find something dwelling in us where we forgive those who trespassed against us." Right? We looked at what is Jesus really saying there? I mean, what's the heart behind what he's trying to say? And what he's doing there is he was just trying to give the disciples a picture into what he's thinking of when he prays. Right? He's just basically giving them a snapshot of what he was just doing when he was off praying with God. So what was Jesus saying there? Jesus was saying, I see something about God and what is in his heart towards me that has sanctified him in my heart as Father, right? He's been sanctified in my heart as Father because of something I see in him, and it's something I see in his heart towards me. It has set him apart in my heart as my Father. And so when I go to engage with God in prayer, I'm knowing this guy's my Father, Jesus is saying. And that means something to Jesus. He's saying that God has been set apart in my heart as the one that cares for me, as the one that preserves my life from sin and death. And the reason why he's been set apart in my heart is because I see he's filled with only loving kindness towards me, right? I mean, listen, you can find yourself resting in the presence of a person when you know their heart is only filled with loving kindness towards you. That you know they're more concerned with your life than they are with their own. That you know their heart and their imagination is consumed with caring for you and protecting you and loving you. You know, I got one of my best friends since I was really young. This guy is a tough guy, right? He's a bruiser. And that's putting it nicely. But for some reason, this guy took like a loving for me, or this guy loved me for some reason. I never could figure out why does this guy love me. But this guy loved me so much that he would never let any harm come to me. The guy would take a bullet rather than see me die. The guy would die rather than see me die. And whenever I'm with this guy, I'm free to just like walk around carefree because I know he's busy, more concerned about my life than I am about my own. He's more concerned about my life than his own life. Right? And so my friend's been sanctified in my heart for that reason. I see that he's filled with loving kindness for me. I see that my life is precious to him. I see the thought of harm coming to my life bothers him. He doesn't like that thought. And I see that with everything in him, he's going to preserve my life from the corruption and the calamity and the sin and death that's in this earth. Right? And so he's been set apart in my heart. Well, Jesus is saying that about God. God's been set apart in my heart as my Father because I see this guy is filled with loving kindness towards me. I see his heart is filled with caring for my life, nurturing my life, giving me what I need to have life, providing it to me as a gift, preserving my life from everything that could harm me. So when I'm going off to pray with God, listen, man, my mind is filled with knowing that about God, right? I see, Jesus is telling the disciples, I see what's in the Father's heart is to clothe upon my mortal body with his glory and his immortality, and to make me or seat me at his right hand, making me a co-heir with him in his kingdom and in his life. I see that's what his mind is filled with. Jesus is saying, God fills my heart with the abundance of his life as I walk through the valley shadowed by death. And so Jesus is telling the disciples this. When I'm off talking with God, I'm talking with God about how he fills my heart with the abundance of his life. I'm talking with God about how much he loves my life. I'm talking with God about his will for my life, is that my mortal body be clothed upon with glory and immortality, and that I be seated at his right hand, and that I'm a co-heir with him in his life and in his kingdom. I'm talking with God about that. I'm talking with God about how the spirit of his life is in me, bringing all of that about. Thank you, Jesus. He's telling the disciples, when I talk to God, I'm telling God, I'm thanking God, I'm acknowledging with God that he comforts me. He comforts me with his life in the day of temptation. He leads me to the place where I see I have no lack. His heart, when I look at him, I talk to him about how his heart is filled with forgiveness, and his forgiveness has been made flesh in me. Glory to God. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says the prayer, right? And so I wanted everybody to see, what is he actually saying? Because I think we just read through that prayer and it's repetition. We don't even know what it means. We focus in on the part, well, will God forgive me if I don't forgive others? Or how does that work? That's the part we focus in on, right? Because that's the part we're worried about. You see what I'm saying? But it's like we miss the point of what Jesus is trying to say. I mean, Jesus is the Son of God, and here this is the Son of God, and he's sitting with God and praying every day, and they're going off to talk every day, and now Jesus is trying to tell us what he's doing, and we're busy focusing on, well, will God forgive me if I don't forgive others? We're missing the point, man. Right? This guy's trying to tell us, describe to us, what his connection with God is like. What do they talk about? It's like if I go hang out with Magic Johnson. Somebody, what do you guys talk about, man? What do you talk about with Magic Johnson or for whoever it is you like, right? It's like, what is you talking about? Now listen, when he began his teaching about prayer by saying a prayer, he wasn't trying to teach the disciples a formula. He wasn't trying to give them a formula. He wasn't like, well, these guys have now come and asked me about prayer, and let me tell them the right words that they must pray. Let me tell them the prayer so that they can write it down on a piece of paper and they can recite it every day at 6 o'clock, or maybe at least before dinner, right? That's not what he was busy with. He wasn't busy wanting us all to come together and recite that prayer word for word. That's not what he was thinking there. He was describing the spirit the spirit from where his prayer time with God is born, right? That's what he's trying to describe there. He's trying to give us eyes to see it. So when Jesus began his teaching about prayer by saying a prayer, he wasn't teaching the disciples a formula. He wasn't giving them something to recite each time they prayed. He wasn't teaching the disciples how to get God to move. Is that what he was doing? That's not what he was doing. In fact, we'll get into this later, but Jesus wasn't off praying with God to get God to move. There wasn't some negative situation going on. The foundation from where the disciples even asked Jesus to teach them how he prays is the foundation of them just seeing Jesus going to walk with God by himself every day. Not when there was something wrong, not when there was a bad circumstance, not when he was pressed in on, although he prayed then also. But they saw him going off to walk and talk with God. And they wanted to know, what are you doing, bro? What's going on there? And so Jesus wouldn't have been teaching them about how to get God to move because Jesus wasn't off trying to get God to move. Jesus is God moving. It's like, how many of us prayed for the cross? Well, did God move? How many of us prayed for the resurrection? Listen, man, the Jewish people, and this isn't to disparage them, we would have gotten it the same way if we were in their shoes. But man, they're the ones that received the law. They're the ones that penned the scriptures. And they had no idea about what the resurrection was. Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, they had no idea that that was God. And so did we pray to get God to move there? Or did God move? God can't deny the love he feels in his heart for you. He can't deny himself. What that means is in the day he sees you hurting, he sees you needing life, he sees your life as being come against, he sees your life as being bruised, he finds something in his heart that moves him to deliver you from what hurts you and to exalt you to the place where your life can be harmed no more. You ain't got to pray to get God to do that. Right? And so Jesus wasn't thinking, well, man, I'm in the earth today, and soon I'll be nailed to a tree. If I can go off and pray every day, then God will raise me from the dead. Do you see what I'm saying? It wasn't like Jesus was going off to pray to get God to raise him from the dead. So what is he doing there, right? He's not giving them a formula. He's not teaching them how to pray to get God to move. In fact, if you go read the account of the prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus told the disciples not to use vain repetitions like the heathens do. That they think that because they pray so much or because of their much speaking that God will hear them. So if your idea about prayer is about you trying to get God to hear you, you're not understanding prayer. And that's okay. There's no shame in that. Because none of us understood prayer till God come and reveal prayer. Or till God come and bring forth prayer inside of us by revealing the spirit of his truth to us. And then we find what we pray is born from the spirit of truth. Right? Glory to God. Jesus said it isn't our much speaking that moves God on our behalf. I mean, we got all kinds of things today. And listen, this isn't to disparage any ministry, but we actually got ministries in the world that set up 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer because they think that's going to get God to move. And they misunderstand the verse that says, pray unceasingly. And they think that means we must pray every second of every moment of every day. Which, I don't know that I say that that's wrong, but their definition of what prayer is what's wrong. Because I tell you what, God will come to you and captivate your imagination so much by his love towards you, you'll find yourself thinking of him all the time. You'll find yourself looking at the trees and thinking about what it was like when God said, let there be light. You'll find yourself looking at the animals and thinking about how wonderful the animals were and when God made the animals and how he let Adam name the... I mean, you'll find yourself seeing God everywhere. Doesn't mean you're off in a corner somewhere on your knees praying, but your imagination has become captivated by God, so in your thoughts, God is always present. Pray unceasingly. Right? That's what he's talking about there. So, I mean, Jesus come and said, listen, man, the Father already knows what we have need of before we even ask him. He already knows. He's not like a guy with a Santa Claus present bag sitting in the back thinking, I know what they need and I have it, but I'm not going to give it to them unless they ask. That's ridiculous, man. Right? I'd be like if our parents, when we're 2 or 3, they knew we're hungry, they have food to feed us, but they're not going to give it to us unless we ask. What kind of sense does that make? Imagine we had to pray to get our parents to move, to clothe us, or to feed us, or to take care of our lives. Imagine we had to gather together. Pat, I mean, I don't know how many of you guys got a lot of siblings, but there's 5 of us. Imagine we had to gather together in the living room and pray long and hard and pray repetitiously to get mom and dad to take care of us. What does that sound like to you when we say that out loud? I mean, imagine we found some parents that were like that. We would immediately think there's something wrong with them. We would immediately think that's not right. Those people need help. But then that's how we describe God. Right? I mean, in so much of our thinking, we think we're more righteous than God and we don't even realize it because we would never do that. In fact, all of us would say, all of us that have kids, we would never do that to our kids. Oh, but we say God will. Do you see what I'm saying? We make ourselves out to be more righteous than God and we wonder why we struggle to trust God. Right? I mean, and I just want to say this right now off the cuff, but part of what's going on in prayer is God producing trust in you towards Him. I mean, we're praying now. We're praying in the Bible study. Why? Because we're talking about the Spirit of God's life and what His Spirit is doing in us and in the earth. Glory to God. So, man, Jesus said prayer is not about some outward show we put on for public display in front of people so that people can think we're holy. Right? It's like, I mean, it used to be you all come together and pray in tongues and see who could pray in tongues the loudest. And whoever could pray in tongues the loudest, certainly they were the most holy. Right? Or it's like if you pray in tongues, I mean, you used to accost people, well, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues? As if we're more holy than them. You know what I'm saying? And so Jesus is like, listen, man, it's not about some outward show we put on for public display in order for people to think we're holy. Right? The Pharisees were all the time off praying in public. They wanted people to see. They wanted honor from man. They wanted the people around them to think, look how holy they are. Look how great they are. Right? Jesus says prayer is not about trying to get God to move. It's not about receiving honor from people. It's not about reciting specific prayers over and over again as a means of being acceptable to God. That's got nothing to do with prayer. So, I mean, what is Jesus teaching there? And so Jesus, he isn't teaching us what to pray, per se, but he's teaching what prayer is all about. He's preaching and teaching the heart from where prayer is born, right? He's describing what's in his heart when he's connecting with God. He's describing what they're talking about, right? So Jesus, what he's saying there is he's teaching that prayer, like we just said, prayer is about connecting with who God is and what's in God's heart for mankind and his life with mankind in the earth. That's what prayer is about. I'll just say that again. Prayer is about connecting with God and what's in God's heart for mankind with his life with mankind in the earth, and it's about connecting with who God really is as Father. That's what prayer is. That's what it is. It ain't like something you necessarily got to go sit quietly at a closet and recite a bunch of Hail Marys or something, right? It's not about where you go sit in a closet, you try to confess all your sins so God can come and send your sins away from you now. That's not what it's about. It's about connecting with who God is as your Father. It's important that you know you're not an orphan in the earth. It's important you know you have a heavenly Father whose good pleasure is to care for your life. Otherwise, you're going to be busy thinking you got to care for your own life. And you're going to be taken captive into a life of self-justification. And so Jesus is teaching that prayer is about connecting. It's about connecting. When we talk, we connect. Right? We share our hearts with one another. You learn about me. You learn what's in my heart when we talk. You learn about what's in my heart for you when we talk. All of you that know me, all of you that have talked with me, I guarantee you, you have a view, an opinion about what's in my heart for you. You just do. Because we've connected. We've connected. And so you could even say we pray when we come together. Because we're connecting. Right? And vice versa. So Jesus is like, listen, man, when I'm off praying, I'm connecting with who God is, and I'm connecting with what's in his heart for his life with mankind in the earth. That's what I'm doing, right? And that could look a number of different ways, that connecting, and it could manifest itself in a number of different ways as I walk through the earth, right? It's not some legalism we're going to put on it, right? So Jesus is teaching us to pray from the knowing of what God's eternal purpose is for us and our lives and the earth. That's what he's saying. what he's basically saying there is when you can know the heart of God, it will bring forth this in you, right? And so prayer is about connecting with the heart of God so you can know it, and so you can find yourself receiving strength or comfort or compassion or camaraderie or whatever it is you need. You'll find it by connecting with who God is and what's in his heart for you, right? You guys just hear what I said? How many of us sitting in here today find ourselves sitting in the place where we think we need something? Nobody wants to raise their hand. It's everyone. Everyone. How many of us in this last week were confronted with the thought about something we say we need that we don't have? Oh, Becky, okay. I thought you were telling me something's wrong. Well, man, listen, whatever it is you think you need, it's found in knowing the heart of God and what's in his heart for you. That's where it is. And God isn't like sitting off in a faraway land. He's not like Confucius. When I was in high school, I studied a lot of stuff, and my friends thought I was a smart guy. And so they would say, Confucius say, right? They called me like the oracle. And so they had this funny joke about how they climb up into a mountainous cave, and there's going to be Greg sitting one day with a long beard like an oracle. That's God's not the oracle. He's not in some cave in the sky in the clouds waiting for those that can climb up high enough to get there, and then he'll connect with them. God comes to walk with us, to connect with us every day. Every day he comes to connect with us. Every day he comes to know us. But every day when he comes to know us, he comes to also be known. It's not just us that want to know and be known. It's God that wants to know and be known. Right? And it just so happens to be that in knowing God, you find that all your needs are met. Glory to God. Right? Thank you, Jesus. So what Jesus is saying, he's saying when we pray, we are talking with God. When we pray, when we are talking with God, he's saying the whole point is intimacy with the Father and what's in his heart. That's the whole point. The whole point of prayer is intimacy with the Father and what's in his heart. You can almost say it's date night with God. Right? Ladies want date night. The men get very distracted with life building. Ladies, just so you know, we're distracted with life building because we're trying to provide you with a life. Right? So you're not far from our minds while we're life building. Right? I understand that's not the connection you're looking for. But prayer is essentially about date night with God. Right? I mean, that's what it is. And he picks up the bill. Right? That's the best part. Guys, sometimes you're thinking, well, man, how many date nights are we going to have? I don't know if we have enough money to pay for all these date nights. And then the wife gets wise to it, and she thinks, well, we don't have to spend any money. We can go have date night without money. Ah, glory to God. Well, listen, with God, you ain't got to worry about the money for date night. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I mean, even just the thought of prayer, it's almost like Mary Poppins and taking a spoonful of sugar so the medicine can go down, right? You guys know that? Just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, medicine go down. The way we've thought about prayer has kind of made it out to be like that, right? Like it's this painful thing we got to do. We got to make time to do it. We got to get it right when we do it. We got to do it first thing in the morning. There's some psalm that says something about rising early in the morning, right? And so we've made prayer like this painful thing that we need a spoonful of sugar just to like get it down, right? Instead of thinking of prayer like date night where God come to pick us up and to pick up the tab, right? And we're just going to connect with who he is and what's in his heart for us. And I promise you, no matter how much you probe the heart of God, you're going to find that there's only goodness in his heart towards you. There's only kindness in his heart towards you. There's only a thing in his heart where he's desiring to exalt your life to the place where the calamity in this earth can't touch it. That's what you're going to find in his heart. And you're going to find that this guy possesses something to be able to do that, actually. Then you come home from date night feeling happy. You know, sometimes you go to date night and it don't work out so well, right? You had good intentions, but there's this like misunderstanding. Right? You come home all quiet, not talking. You're thinking, what happened, man? This was supposed to be a good thing. Listen, you ain't never going to find that kind of experience when you go on date night with God. Right? You ain't going to find God having misunderstood you or judged you or scrutinized you or been upset with how you behaved. Right? You're not going to find that about God. Right? So Jesus is teaching us to pray from the knowing of what God's eternal purpose is for our lives in the earth. Now, before Jesus came, none of us knew. None of us knew what God's eternal purpose was for our lives and for the earth. We didn't know. We had no clue. Jesus came in John 15 and said, listen, no more do I call you servants, but I call you friends. For servants didn't know what their father was busy doing, but now I've come and told you everything your father is doing. Right? He goes on to talk about prayer right after that. Go read John 15. He goes right on to talk about prayer and praying in the name of the Father. If you ask anything in my name, glory to God. Glory to God. So Jesus is saying, when we pray, or when I pray, he's telling the disciples, you guys want to know what I'm doing when I pray? The heart behind what's going on there? He says, when I pray, what's in my heart when I think of prayer is intimacy with the Father and the Father's heart. And the Father's heart for my life and the Father's heart for his life with me in the earth. When I walk and talk with God, I'm being intimate with the thoughts and intents of the Father's heart for my life, with the Father's heart for mankind, and the Father's heart for the earth. I'm busy being intimate with God around the spirit of his life, around the spirit of the life we share in together. That's what I'm doing with God. I'm walking and talking about eternal life and what eternal life is doing in me, in the earth, and in people. Right? That's what I'm doing, glory to God. I'm connecting with that. I'm connecting with it. You find great strength when you connect with something like that. Right? It's like I come in this morning and the air conditioner's broken. And I got this thing now where, you know, my initial reaction was want to go tell my wife, the air conditioner's broken. Can you believe that? And then I thought, why am I going to go tell her that? That's not going to make her happy. She can't fix it. I'm just going to keep it to myself. Rather just me be frustrated, not her. But anyway, imagine I could come in and see that the air conditioner isn't working right. It needs to be made straight. But now all of a sudden, someone can come and tell me, no, the AC guy's on his way already. And he's going to get the air conditioner working and fixed, never to be able to be broken again. And he's going to do it before church starts. What do you think that's going to do on the inside of me? I'm going to feel real happy. Especially come and tell me it can never be broken again. You know, these things break all the time. And so Jesus is talking with God about eternal life and what eternal life is doing in him and what it's doing in people and what it's doing in the earth. Now listen, that does something on the inside of you because you know eternal life makes everything that's crooked straight. And you know it's actively doing it. And you know that when it brings the straightness, it can never be made crooked again. And so now when you're off talking with God about that and being intimate with God around that and being intimate with God around who he is as your father, listen, that will do something on the inside of you where you feel nice. It's like a balm for the heart, right? Like you put a balm on. A balm heals everything, doesn't it? Isn't that what they say? I mean, there was the Seinfeld episode where Kramer got burnt because he spilled the hot coffee on himself and he put the balm on and the balm healed it. And good old Jackie Childs says, who told you to put the balm on? Did I tell you to put the balm on? Well, I didn't know it would heal it. What do you think a balm does? So Jesus is talking about this effect that connecting with who God is as his father and what is in the father's heart for his life and for the life of mankind and for the earth. He's talking about being intimate with that as he walks and talks with God. And oh, by the way, that's like a healing balm on the inside. It strengthens you in the inner person with joy. Right? And joy was, Jesus was anointed with joy above all his fellows. And what you could easily come and say is that he was the only one that even knew what joy was. Right? He's the only guy who walked the earth that actually knew what joy was. Because he's the only one who had heard the promise of eternal life. Right? He's the only one who had heard the Father promising eternal life to him. So he was filled with joy. And he was connecting with the Father around the promise of this eternal life. And the promise of eternal life is not just the promise of eternal life for you. It's the promise of what eternal life is doing in the earth and what it's doing in you and that it's coming to pass right now. It's not like you're waiting for it to come to pass. It's in you right now growing. It's in you right now swallowing darkness with light. It's in you right now bringing forth water and rain in the dry places. It just is. Glory to God. So this is what Jesus is telling us about prayer. Listen. This is why it's so important to understand the gospel, so that you can connect with. It's difficult to connect with a guy if you don't know who he is. It's difficult to connect with what's in his heart for your life if you don't know what's in his heart for your life, right? And so Jesus, listen, when you talk to God, understand this one thing. He is your Father, and his heart is filled with you, and you having his life, and you sharing in his life with him in an earth wherein only righteousness dwells, that you haven't labored to have or bring forth, but that he has provided for you as a gift. When you talk with God from that foundation. Let that be dwelling in your heart. Let this knowledge of God and what is in his heart be dwelling in you when you talk with him. Let your time with God be filled with the knowing that he's not imputing your sin to you, but he's taking your sin upon himself. And the reason he's taking your sin upon himself is so he could swallow your sin and your death with his life. So listen, man, let your time with God be filled with knowing that. That even though this world may try to impute sin to you, it doesn't have the authority to do that. And that God's the only one with any authority to impute anything. And he's come and looked at you and looked at the sin and death that was reigning over you, and he thought it wasn't right to impute it to you, and so he imputed it to himself. And the reason he imputed your sin and death to himself is so that he could take your sin and your death upon himself, and then the life that he has in himself could swallow that sin and that death up. And then that sin and that death could be far removed from you, never to come again. Right? Let your time with God be filled with knowing that. That's what he is doing. It's what he has done. It's what he is bringing to pass. Right? It's like the Alpha and Omega in Revelation. I am he that was, he that is, and he that shall be. Right? Glory to God, man. So when you pray, Jesus is saying, it's about knowing that God is not keeping a record of the wrongs you commit against him. He's not keeping a record of those wrongs. He's always believing the best about you. And he's always bringing forth something in you where you know what it feels like to feel the same love and compassion for people that he feels. Right? I'm no longer praying. I used to pray with God to give me peace, as if he had it over there and I'm trying to get it. As if he's not doing something and I'm trying to get it. But he already said, let there be light inside of me. The Christ is already dwelling in me. It's already echoing, let there be light in my heart. And so the Spirit is already moving throughout every facet of my spirit, soul, and body. And guess what it's moving to do? To bring forth peace. I'm not trying to pray to get God to give me peace. I'm talking with God about how he is bringing peace. Big difference. If you're real hungry and I tell you a delivery guy is on the way with the food, your hunger is tempered. If you feel real hungry and you have no idea when food is coming, the hunger is going to grow. And you're going to start feeling a lot more anxious about the lack of food. When we feel like peace is far from us, it's not that God has withheld peace. It's not that we are lacking peace. It's that God is already in us bringing forth peace to swallow up whatever anxiety we feel. And so when we pray to God, let us pray to God knowing what he's doing already, man. Let us pray to God knowing his Holy Spirit is in us. Let us pray to God knowing that the life we have inside of ourselves brought forth light and life out of darkness and chaos in Genesis. So the life that we have now in our mortal bodies, it actually brought forth light and life in the darkness of creation and in the chaos, it says. It brought forth order. Are we busy worried about whether or not we got this or that? Can eternal life deal with that? Do you see what I'm saying? And this isn't to disparage us, but it just goes to show that, and I think this for the church, and I see the Holy Spirit bringing the church out of this, and I don't mean us, I mean worldwide. There's been a lack of intimacy with what eternal life is. There's been a lack of knowing who the Father is. There's been a lack of knowing what the Father is busy doing. And I think that's caused us to be in a place where we're not really intimate with what is happening. We relate to God as if it isn't happening and we need it to happen. We relate to God as if we're being overcome and we need to overcome. Instead of seeing that we are being made to overcome, we have overcome, we are overcoming, we shall be made to overcome. right? When you pray from that foundation, it changes on the inside, right? You begin being persuaded by intimacy with God that you can't be overcome, you overcome, right? That changes how you walk and navigate the earth, glory to God. So when you pray and talk with God, Jesus is saying, let your hearts and minds be filled with the knowing that the kingdom of God is already come in the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, and that God's will for you to be delivered from the sin and death in the world is being done. We think we're waiting around for it to something to kick off. It's already kicked off. It's already coming to pass. The kingdom of God is drawn near to you, and that kingdom is dwelling in you. And it's like a mustard seed that it looks like the least of all things, and it's growing into the mightiest of all things to swallow up everything, every ounce of calamity that comes against your life, glory to God. When you pray, pray knowing that the kingdom of God is in me, and it's ever growing and expanding. The Spirit of the living God is in me, and it's moving across all the places that are without shape and form. It's moving in all the places of my heart, bringing forth light and life. It's moving in all the places of my heart, bringing forth peace and love and joy. Let us know what God's doing in us. Let us not live thinking he's not doing it, and we need to get him to do it. Because I guarantee you, that's how we feel when we run into calamity, ain't it? I mean, isn't that how, where's God? You know what God is? He's inside of you. You know what he's doing? He's swallowing death in darkness. Hallelujah. So listen, man, when you engage with God, be intimate with that. Do you see what I'm saying? Be intimate with the word of eternal life. Brothers and sisters, we have become experts on all things that matter nothing at all. And we have become ignoramuses when it comes to knowing the word of eternal life. Is this the truth, man? So listen, as you walk and talk with God, let your hearts and minds be filled with the knowing that God's will for his life to be made manifest in you is being brought to pass right now. It's actively happening. It's actively, life is actively being worked out inside of you. It's not as if it's not, and I got to find the right formula to put in place so that it can happen. It's that God has deposited incorruptible seed in you, and he wants to come and walk with you in the cool of the day to water that seed, right? And that seed is watered with intimacy, right? And man, we'll just start experiencing what God is already doing inside of us in our mind, will, and emotions when we begin connecting with him based on what he's doing, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, a lot of times when we think of prayer, we don't realize it. And I realized this about myself, but I my idea of prayer and when I prayed was more of a reactionary kind of a thing. I prayed in reaction to something, right? I didn't just go to pray with God. I was reacting to something, and then I would go pray. So I thought of prayer in reactionary terms. We think of it as something we do when something is going on around us, right? It's like when we have hard times, bad circumstances, stressed out, when we feel anxiety, when we feel fear, it's like that's when we think about prayer. That's when we think prayer is there for, right? And it's all about a reaction. And so much of what we think about prayer is born from what we say we lack instead of the eternal life we share with the Father now, right? Much of our prayer is about what we say we lack. But God come and said, you lack nothing. I love what it says in James. You ask, but you have not, because you ask amiss, seeking to satisfy the lust in your heart. Right? It's like all of our prayer with God is about all the lack instead of the abundance of the eternal life we share in with him and what that eternal life does in the presence of lack. You know what eternal life does in the presence of lack? Fills it up. It's like a filler, right? There's like a leak in the closet in there. My dad told me to go get this like little thing, and it's funny because you squirt this little substance around like the pipe, and it fills out, right? Like it grows. It's like it filled in the empty spaces, the dry spaces, the lack, the hole, right? And it made it whole. That's what eternal life is, man. Eternal life is that way. So much of our prayers are centered around the lack we see in our circumstances instead of the abundance of the eternal life we share in with the Father, right? Because we live in this world, it's like we can find ourselves in the place where we're identifying with and being more intimate with the life that is of the world than we are with the eternal life and the life we share in with God. I don't know if we realize it, but man, every day we wake up in this world. Well, there's a certain life in this world that we encounter every day. You can even say we're intimate with the life that's in this world, right? Because every day we're confronted with it. Every day we see it. Every day we talk about it. Every day we think about it. Every day we wonder about it. Every day we think about what is wrong with it. Every day we think about how to fix it. We're all the time, every day, waking up and being intimate with the life that's of this world. And so the majority of our prayers with God is centered around the life that is from the world instead of centered around the life that is from above. Glory to God, man. It's like we've kind of counted the life that is of the world, and this isn't to disparage us. We're in this world, and it's a struggle to be in this world, but to know what it means that you're not of this world. I'm in this world, but the life that I have right now, it didn't come from the world. And so, I want to be intimate with the life that's actually mine and not the life that isn't mine. Because if I'm intimate with the life that isn't mine, guess what kind of a life I'm going to experience? You see what I'm saying? Glory to God. You see what I'm saying? So, it's like we're in this world, and so the life that's of this world, it's like front and center. And it can distract us sometimes, and it can get our sights focused on it, and it can get us looking at it. And it almost takes us to the place where it's like we've counted that the life that's of this world is greater and more critical to us than the eternal life we have with the Father, right? Because when we pray, what are we going to do? Talk about the life we have from the world, isn't it? Just be honest. I mean, isn't it? Why do we do that? Because we think that's what's critical to us having what we need, isn't it? You see, God come to bring forth something in us. I can honestly say at the beginning when I described the way my prayers shifted, no one taught me anything that shifted my prayers. All I can say is that I look back now and I see as I grew to know more about God, the way that I prayed completely changed. Right? And that's what'll happen. And so that's what we're talking about here. Our prayer and our language with God has been more about the life in this world and the things we want to happen for us in this world than the eternal life we share in with God and what that eternal life is doing to this world. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, what would prayer look like with God if we were content? What would prayer with God look like if we thought we had all things? We lack nothing. We come behind in nothing. What would our prayer with God look like then? I mean, would we just not pray? It's like we think the only purpose for prayer is when we feel dissatisfied. And then we go and talk with God about the life that's from the world. Guess what? The life that's in the world will always make you feel dissatisfaction. You can't get it to be perfected enough where it can fill you full. So it's like if you're going to God thinking that ironing out the life you have from the world is what's going to satisfy you, you're asking him for something that isn't possible because the life that's in the world can never satisfy you. You know the life that can satisfy you? Eternal life. You know eternal life even possesses the ability to fill you with satisfaction when the world tells you you have nothing? Eternal life has the ability to make a person who the world would say is poor feel like they're the richest person that's ever lived. Eternal life has that ability. And it doesn't require much for eternal life to do that inside of you. All that it requires is for you just to begin to be intimate with eternal life. For you to start connecting with God around eternal life. For you to start having fellowship with God around the eternal life that you share in with him. You'll find it satisfying you. You'll find it making you think less about the things you think that are wrong. And you'll find yourself thinking more about, man, God is swallowing up the death and darkness in this earth with light and life. You'll find yourself thinking about that instead of thinking about all the death and the darkness. You see how that's a big mind shift? Right? And so prayer, Jesus is teaching about prayer from that perspective. right? From the perspective of, listen, you're in this world, you're not of this world, right? You have an earthly father, but he's not really your father. You have a father in heaven that's your father. And you want to walk and talk with your heavenly father, and you want to walk and talk and be intimate with the life you share in with him, right? Because that's actually your life. That's actually what will stabilize you. That's actually what will satisfy you. That's actually what will fill you with joy. Glory to God, right? So, yes and amen. So remember, all of this started with prayer, with the disciples coming and asking Jesus to teach them to pray. They didn't just come up with that out of the blue. They saw him going off to pray all the time with God. And they saw something different about this, because the Pharisees were always out in public praying. The heathens were all the time much speaking when they prayed. But this guy, Jesus, was very unassuming in his prayer. He removed himself from people, and he went off and did it every day. So they just saw this guy, Jesus, who they called Rabbi, leaving every day to go pray with God. And that's the foundation from where they asked for him to teach them about prayer. And not just prayer in general, but what does prayer mean to you? What is it exactly that you're doing when you go off, right? Teach us about that. What are you doing when you're alone with God? Teach us about that. Show us that. It's like, man, I can just see the disciples saying to Jesus, man, Jesus, when you go off and you pray, what are you doing? We see the Pharisees all the time praying in public, and you are off with God, just like quietly alone by yourself, and nobody even knows what's happening there. In the Jewish system, we come together for all the festivals and we recite all these prayers every year at the right exact time, but you're going off all alone with God. What are you doing, bro? Right? And so when you think about what was in Jesus' mind when the disciples asked him about prayer, what type of prayer was Jesus thinking of? Because there's a lot of different ways you could think about prayer, right? You have Jesus talk about prayer and fasting in Matthew, and that's different. Right? You have the type of prayer where you're seeking God because your heart's filled with mourning, meaning that death has come to your house and your heart is mourning about the death and you're seeking God about the death. You have the kind of prayer in the Jewish mindset where they believe that you prayed and fast to repent from trusting in your own works, and they describe that as prayer. But this isn't what was going on with Jesus when the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. There wasn't some bad circumstance that happened in Jesus' life. It wasn't that he was being pressed in on when they asked. It wasn't like he lacked something and he needed it. He was just going off to walk and talk with God when they asked. Jesus wasn't trying to get a miracle. He wasn't trying to get something to manifest. He wasn't trying to get money from God. He was just going off to walk and talk with God. And the disciples saw that and they want to know, what's going on, man? Because there's no hard times for you right now. It's not that we lack money. We got a treasurer, a guy right there with the purse. We have money. No one's come that needs a miracle. What is it that you're going to do, bro? What are you going to do when you're out there? And so Jesus says, listen, man, when I pray, I'm just hanging out with God, and we're walking in the cool of the day. That's what I'm doing. God comes to walk with me in the cool of the day, every day, and I'm off walking with him in the cool of the day. And Jesus is like, man, I see God as my father. I see that I'm his son. I see I'm flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. I see the power behind my life is his spirit and not this blood. The power behind my life is his love and not my own works. I see the life I have is from above, and it's found in him, and it's by him and through him and to him and with him. And we walk and talk about the spirit of life. We walk and talk about the spirit of eternal life that we share in and what it's doing in me and what it's doing in the earth. We walk and talk about the eternal life we share in and how it brings forth all that God is in mankind and in the earth. We're basically walking and talking with God, and I'm walking and talking with God and talking about the seed that is his life and what it's doing. Hallelujah, man. Right? Thank you, Jesus. I could just see Jesus walking and talking with God about when they said, let there be light, and the darkness and chaos that was on the face of the deep, and them talking about how light and life swallowed the chaos, how order was brought forth out of chaos, how life was brought forth out of darkness. Do you see how that would shrink the effects of darkness and chaos in a person's heart? If they could see that life brings forth order out of chaos. Eternal life brings forth light out of darkness. And then them to know that eternal life is in them and it's in the earth through them and what it's doing in the earth. I could just see Jesus walking and talking with God about what happened in Genesis when they made all things, when the earth was without shape and form, when there was nothingness. It wasn't even habitable. And then they manifested themselves in their eternal life, and it swallowed up the darkness and the chaos. It gave shape and form to things that had no shape and form. It brought forth life where there was no life. It brought forth order where there was only chaos. I could just see Jesus and the Father walking and talking about that, man. Walking and talking about what this does. I could see Jesus walking and talking with the Father about when he's going to the cross. And that all the chaos and darkness and death and calamity that's in the earth was going to come upon him at the cross. I could see the Father talking to Jesus about, do you know the eternal life we share in together? Remember when all that darkness and chaos and confusion and dark and death was in the beginning before we made creation? Remember when we said, let there be light? Remember when eternal life manifested there and swallowed the death and the darkness? That eternal life is inside of you, Jesus. And when they nail you to a tree and the sin of the world is laid upon you, the eternal life you have, just like it manifested light and life in Genesis, it's going to manifest light and life in you. I get to see them talking about what eternal life is, what it does, what it looks like, how it manifests itself, what it brings about. I could just see them talking about how that you are that eternal life, Jesus. You are the let there be light that entered the earth. You're going to swallow the death of the cross, man. In rest. That's what God's trying to bring forth in you. He comes to walk with you in the cool of the day. You know, when I think about what prayer looked like before Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I think of God coming to walk with Adam in the cool of the day. And I think of Adam and God fellowshipping around the spirit of his life, fellowshipping around the work that God did to provide Adam with life and to care for Adam's life. I could just see God talking to Adam about the work his eternal life did. And how he came to give Adam that eternal life as a gift. So that just like that eternal life brought forth all this beauty that Adam sees in creation, that same eternal life would decorate Adam with the fruit of God's life. That it would decorate Adam with God's glory and immortality. I could just see God coming to meet with Adam to persuade Adam that the work was already done. And to persuade Adam of what eternal life is. And to persuade Adam of what eternal life does. Right? I could just see him coming to persuade Adam that he's already done everything that was needed for Adam to have life and God-likeness. Glory to God, man. I could just see God talking to Adam about that. Telling Adam, listen, man, in the beginning, there was nothing. There was nothing that was here. In fact, you could say that there was nothing but lack everywhere. Right? And so I could just see God telling Adam, and then I came and said, let there be light. And you could just see God talking with Adam about eternal life. Why? So that in the day Adam could ever feel like there was lack, that he would see that eternal life swallows lack. So in the day the serpent deceives Adam's wife, and Adam is influenced by the death he sees that his wife is in now because she ate the tree, that Adam's heart could be influenced into thinking eternal life will swallow up this death. Abba. Right? That's what God's trying to bring forth in us. When we encounter things in this earth that we say, we have eternal life, and eternal life is in me swallowing it up. Right? And so he comes to walk with us in the cool of the day so that we can walk with him. So guys, a big part of what prayer's trying to produce in us is it's trying to grow us up in the eternal life we share with the Father. It's trying to put eternal life front and center in our minds instead of the life that's of the world, right? It's about, a big part of prayer is about learning what it is to live and move and have your being within the eternal life you share in with the Father. And I don't mean learning like academic. I mean learning in the sense of awareness or understanding of what something is and what it consists of and what it looks like and how it manifests itself in the presence of the world or the presence of what's going on in our lives, right? And so, I don't know, guys, we've learned about the life that's in this world. We know it real good, don't we? We know the ins and the outs. We know how to navigate it. We know what it consists of. We know how it will manifest. We know what manifests, when it manifests, why it manifests, how it will manifest. We got all that stuff figured out. We didn't have to go to a classroom for that. All we did was wake up every day and see that life. All we did was wake up every day and we're intimate with that life because we wake up every day in this world. And so what God has gotten his heart about prayer is him coming and connecting with us and us connecting with him and us being confronted with the life we share in with him so that we can learn to live and move and have our being within inside of eternal life so that our thoughts can begin to be born from eternal life so that our thoughts about the life we have in this world can be born from eternal life so we can find ourselves talking with God knowing that his eternal life is in us, overcoming sin and death. His eternal life is dwelling in us, sending away sin and death. Right now, eternal life is dwelling in you, sending away sin and death. You think you got any problems? If eternal life is in you, it's inside of you right now, sending away. Glory to God. Glory to God. So guys, at the end of the day, prayer is just about, it's easy for us to be intimate with the life that's in this world. We don't have to try because we see it, right? We're interacting with it. At the end of the day, prayer is about us interacting with God as our Father and interacting with God around the word of eternal life we share with him. And he's coming to walk with us, to talk with us about that. The reason, A, he just likes being around us. He likes you. He wants to be with you. And he knows that this eternal life that he has, he knows what it's doing in the earth. And it causes him to rest in the presence of seeing sin and darkness, right? And he knows that it will cause you to rest. If your mind can be filled with the fact that you possess eternal life and what it's doing inside of you and what it's doing in the earth, if you could see the earth, when we look at the world, it's like we only see the death and the darkness, right? You read the news and all you read is about all the calamity that's going on. But if you could like zoom out like a space shuttle and look down on the earth and you could see the fire of life in the center of the earth and you could see it pulsating and shooting out flares of light and life all through the earth and you could see it growing and you could see that nothing can stop that thing from swallowing the whole earth. Listen, man. You'd find a peace and a rest inside of yourself. You'd find yourself stabilized, right? And so God knows that's what's going on. So at the end of the day, prayer is just about intimacy with who God is and what is in his heart. It's about having fellowship with the Spirit of life and what the Spirit of life is busy doing in us and in the earth. That's really the only interaction we need to have with God. Now, I'll tell you this, when your heart becomes established in that, you can find yourself manifesting that eternal life everywhere you go. Not even necessarily by trying. You'll just find it come out of you. When you encounter sin and death, guess what you'll find yourself doing? Sending it away. When you encounter people who are in bondage to sin and death, you know what you'll find yourself doing? Telling them it's been sent away from them. You'll find yourself dwelling in a life that overcomes sin and death, and you'll find yourself walking that way, right? And so prayer is about walking with God in the cool of the day. It's about God coming to hang out with you and to fellowship with you in the spirit of his life. It's about walking and talking with God around the spirit of his life and his love for you as his children. That's what prayer is about. It's about engaging with God based on who he is and what's in his heart and being intimate with the kingdom and the life and the fellowship and the union that you share in together. That's all that it's about, man. That's it. Glory to God. It's funny, I found myself, and I listen, when this first happened to me, I even thought there was something wrong with it. I thought, Lord, what's wrong with me that I'm no longer asking for things? Like I was even walking, and listen, guys, don't get me wrong. By no stretch of the imagination is everything in my life perfect in the sense that the world defines as perfect. So it's not just like I got lollipops growing up out of my grass. I mean, I can't even get my grass to grow. You know what I'm saying? I can't even get the air conditioner to grow or work. So it's not like all this stuff is going right, but I found myself the other day walking with God, and before I could even recognize what I was saying, because you start talking with God unconsciously, Like, you're not even really aware of what you're saying. You're just talking, right? It's like I found myself walking, and you know what I told God? I said, Lord, I said, at the end of the day, my heart is just that my thoughts be born from eternal life, that the things that I think be born from eternal life, the things I believe be born from eternal life. At the end of the day, I just want to know you and to know your peace and to know your love and to know your joy. And after I thought, my goodness, what kind of prayer was that, man? I need all these things in this world and I need all this stuff going on. And I just felt like, all of a sudden I felt happy thinking that that's actually the only thing that I need, what I was praying about. And then I saw that I didn't even bring that forth to myself. God brought it forth. And then I saw God starting to minister to me and say, Greg, all that thing that you said you desired, that you wanted, that at the end of the day you come to the place where I used to think so much of what I could get from the world. And I was the kind of guy that could get stuff from the world. At the end of the day, I used to think that stuff was so important. But I could see where God took me to the place where the scales have swapped and that stuff is dung now. And that doesn't mean it doesn't sting me sometimes. But what I realize is what I'm really after is this thing here. I'm after a life born from the word of eternal life. I'm after that. That's what I'm after. And so it's like once I realized that was my prayer, God come and said to me, and Greg, you know what, man, that is a beautiful prayer. He said, and you know what? All that stuff you prayed for, eternal life is already doing that in you, bro. And I was like, what? And then I started realizing I was just connecting with what God is doing, right? And so, man, try and keep that in your mind. I don't want to even say try and keep that in your mind. Let your thoughts about prayer shift into it being about just intimacy with God, connecting with who he is, what's in his heart about you, and the eternal life that you share in with him and what it's doing, right? And that's the most powerful prayer you could ever be engaged in. And it could manifest itself in a lot of different ways after the fact. Glory to God. Father, thank you for your love for us. Man, we come together today not to get you to move, not to get you to give us something we don't have, but just to connect with who you are. We know that within you is everything that can satisfy our hearts. We know that in you is the only thing that can satisfy our hearts. And Father, we come together today just to connect with you, to connect with your eternal life, to connect with your love for us. Thank you, Father, that you come here today to connect with us, to connect with who we are, to connect with your love for us and your love for our lives. Thank you, Father, that you make everything straight inside of us, that you're busy bringing forth life inside of us, that your life is welling up in the earth, that your life is swallowing the darkness and the chaos in the earth, that your life is swallowing the darkness and chaos in our lives. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. Give yourselves a hand. You guys rock. Thank you for bearing with the heat. You guys have a blessed day. If you want me to lay hands on you, I will.